Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello, welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on over there?
Hello, Christopher. I hope you are keeping well. Chris, I need an update. I mean, obviously, this show is going to be going out a little bit later than when we recorded it, but where are we at with the whole denouement, crescendo, apex of the Abroad Japan experience, the journey across Japan experience that you undertook in December?
You mean with the one with daily uploads that definitely came out daily?
Why are you bashing yourself over the head with the chair that is the daily upload situation? You said at the start it was going to be difficult. You explained it. I'm willing to give you a boat when you need one, and you do frequently need one. Diet, the way that your bad language,
I do.
You never ring your mum, all that stuff is open season. But the daily upload thing, I think we both know, was a massive undertaking.
I think, we failed on that front, but I'm really happy with the episodes. I think we had a lot of fun. I enjoyed making it. The team enjoyed it. And for the most part, I think viewers have enjoyed it. I think where we are now, when this episode comes out, it should be the one with Dr. Jelly. Hopefully, otherwise I probably just spoiled it now. But Dr. Jelly is back. We made a rap in an abandoned school in Akita, like you do. And it's just a truly hideous rap. Some of the lyrics, I'm not even going to say them, because I don't think we'll probably get this video demonetized.
Very sexual. Lyrics.
There's a line like, shake your jelly all over the place. Oh, I'm going to bust a load of jelly all over your face.
Like me on that plane last week.
Oh, God. What was Jerry thinking? Fuck's sake.
Joey Somali. It should be fun.
Yeah. Joey Somali. But we're nearly there. We're at the finish line, practically. And it should all be wrapped up nicely by the end of January. So a few weeks behind schedule. But nothing like the original Journey Across Japan, where the last episode came out like 8 months after the series finished. My God, what a cock up that was. My next task is to hastily write a speech for this university talk I'm doing in Kyushu. I talked about
you're
it a few weeks back.
You're going all the way down to Kyushu. Warm, festive, welcoming Kyushu.
It is cool. I do love Kyushu.
Speech in front of a load of amazing. That's where my Toyota Century's from. Oita. So sun damaged.
I've got Ryotaro raped me into a talk. I'm giving it at the university, and he's so annoying. He's not told me what it's about. What I've got to talk about. I don't even know how many people are there. It could be 5 people. It could be 10,000. I don't know anything about it. I wish he would tell me more. He's just like, talk about YouTube. And I looked at the runtime and it's an hour. I've got an hour. Right. I can't talk for like 8 minutes, let alone an hour. Like I'll just run out of steam. It's going to be really awkward. Chris, help me out here, Pete. Can I just use ChatGPT and just get ChatGPT to just look at Abroad Japan, read my Wikipedia, watch some videos, whatever it can do, and then just make me a speech. And I'll just read that out and that'll be it. It could be quite good, actually.
Mm. I'll give you two letters, Chris. Q&A.
Yep.
Just get a Q&A. That's 35 minutes of Q&A. It doesn't matter how timid or uninterested in actually asking you questions are. So yeah, do a Q&A for half the time, and the rest of the time just talk about, you know, your history of snack bar attendance in the Hakata area. Hakata or Sakata? I always forget Sakata, isn't it?
It's Sakata, yeah.
Sakata.
I'm actually typing into ChatGPT, make a speech for a Braun Japan presenter, Chris Broad, at Beppu. Is it Beppu University? At Beppu University. Mm. I think it's called like the Foreign School of Beppu.
Beppu's like the hot springs town, isn't it? Beppu. So like just tie it in with that. Give them the hottest, steamiest speech with great food options that you possibly can in this universe. You just bring out a yakitori grill. Do a speech, grill some chicken. Job done.
I think I'm going to make everyone get their phones out, hit subscribe, buy the book, buy the audio book, and just make them do things. Oh my God, it's so fast. I wrote to ChatGPT, make a speech for a Braun Japan presenter, Chris Broad at Beppu University, about the trials and tribulations of YouTube. And it opens, ladies and gentlemen, esteemed esteemed faculty and students of Beppu University, good morning, afternoon, evening, and thank you for inviting me to this prestigious institution. My name is Chris Broad, and I'm the creator behind the Abroad in Japan YouTube channel. Today I'm here to share with you my journey through the dynamic world of YouTube, highlighting not just the triumphs, but more importantly, the trials and tribulations that come with this unique career path. That actually sounds like something I might say, kind of, but with more swearing. So I could just tell ChatGPT, put some more swear words in there, make me sound more British. And then it's done bullet points. Chapter 2, the early challenges, learning the ropes, cultural sensitivities, being respectful, building an audience. It's scary. We're doomed. It's actually done a good job. And I'll just do that. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, well I'm glad you did your research and you did the prep that you were so worried about 2 minutes ago. You've completely solved all of your problems using AI in about 10 seconds.
It's pretty good. I'm worried now. I haven't used ChatGPT to script an Abroad Japan video, but I probably should. I probably should just going forward. You probably won't notice many differences, except I just sound more polite.
Do you not think that, like, it's not about... I find like the blank page very daunting. So I think something like, because I can, you know, every now and again I can turn around a gag here and there, or turn a speech, or turn a phrase rather. Can't even speak. Words are my tools. But I would say, like, I think the to have it build like a little framework for you is surely all right, because that's the most boring thing, isn't it? And then you can just sort of adjust. I'm a great critic, but I'm a terrible creator. So just let me just build something for me, and I'll just rip it to pieces and build it in my own image.
I like that. A great critic, but a terrible creator. I did tell ChatGPT now. I said, right, now do it in a British accent style and funny. And it's retitled the talk to "Riding the YouTube Rollercoaster: Tales of a Brit in Japan." Ladies and gentlemen, esteemed academics, and the future leaders of tomorrow or today, if you're ahead of the game. Ha 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 ha.
Oh, wow. Sentence, they wrote that gag.
Yeah, it wrote that shit gag.
Oh, that's absolute dog shit. I love it.
Good afternoon. I'm Chris Broad, the chap behind the Abroad Japan YouTube channel. I'm here to regale you with my adventures and misadventures. A tale that's more twisty than a British country lane.
Yes. Put this guy on the your YouTube commenters don't like me. Put ChatGPT instead of me. That is absolutely top notch stuff. Big fan of that.
I've got to work that into the speech now. Like a British
twistier
country
than
lane.
A turkey twizzler, surely. the great British cuisine that is the turkey twizzler that Jamie Oliver, our rabble-rousing chef, rallied against about 10 years ago. Incredible. I can't believe you solved all of your problems that quickly, Chris.
Well, it's written the last line. The moral of the story, guys, be resilient, creative, and slightly mad. It helps. Don't forget to pursue your dreams. Don't forget to pursue your dreams, but remember to stop for tea breaks. Thank you for lending
The Brit, the Brit is here. He's drinking tea, everyone. Please use Chris. Please use this Lamar speech. Oh, fantastic.
This is bonkers.
We've got you nailed.
It says, thank you for lending your ears and for not dozing off. I hope this little chat has inspired you, made you chuckle, or at least given you a break from real work. Ha ha ha. Now let's keep calm and carry on creating.
Oh, horrible. Oh, God.
Keep calm and carry on creating.
And then do the Michael Scott spin.
Oh, my Lord.
Don't do the spin. I might do the spin. Oh,
this is
God.
So good.
Please do A, the Michael Scott spin, and also do that speech. That's absolutely wonderful, Chris. Absolutely fantastic.
I think instead of reading the story of the week, we should read out the rest of the speech. It has written a bit more. Like, my journey began with nothing but a camera and a dream, sprinkled with a bit too much enthusiasm for sushi. Picture a young chap, armed with a shaky camera, navigating the streets of Japan, trying not to commit any cultural faux pas. It was like dancing a ballet in Wellington boots, awkward yet somehow charming. The early days were a bit like watching paint dry, but with more anxiety. Building an audience was slower than a Sunday driver in the Lake District.
Oh my God.
And let's not forget.
Oh, I love this. I just like how ChatGPT has kind of like homogenized even the most homogenized little kind of turn of phrase or little gag. They've picked the lamest ones and they're serving it up to us and going, here's the future. It is beige as fuck. I love it.
It's creepy. It's like created this whole narrative for me where, like, I arrived in Japan, it was tough, which of course it was. And then it, like, changes the tone. It says, But then the sun broke through the clouds. Messages from viewers started to pour in, telling me how my humble videos had inspired them or given them a good chuckle. Opportunities knocked on my door, literally, from collaborations on TV appearances. That's creepy. That did happen. It was like, and here's another dodgy metaphor. It was like being invited to the Queen's garden party. Thrilling, surreal, and a little bit overwhelming. What the fuck
is
that?
I want you to type into ChatGPT. Give me that opening paragraph, but I want it as a gay romance novel. Write it in the style of a gay romance novel. So you're walking the streets of Japan. You're yearning for something you can't put a name on. I want to hear what ChatGPT's got for us.
Let's see what it says. I said, oh my God. I said, give me the opening paragraph as a gay... Oh, shit, I wrote gay Romaine novel by accident.
A gay Romanian novel.
Luckily...
Chris is writing a gay Romanian novel again.
Oh, my God. The internet, the fucking ChatGPT AI is so ahead of the curve. It worked out. I didn't want a gay Romanian novel. I wanted a gay romance novel.
Okay.
And it says, this is how my speech will start.
Yeah.
Beppe University.
British University,
under the golden hues of a setting sun in the quaint town of Amberley. What is this? Jonathan Amberley. Walker strolled down the cobblestone streets, his heart beating in anticipation of the unexpected. This isn't me. What is this? It's just written a gay novel. The air was filled with the sweet aroma of blooming jasmine, a scent that has always reminded him of new beginnings. In his world of meticulously planned days and carefully created experiences, spontaneity was a stranger. But tonight, as he...
To be honest, we criticise this, but I've read books more poorly written than that. I mean, good God, there are some absolute stinkers out there that sell millions.
The Abroad in Japan book, we should convert it into a gay romance novel.
Not enough homoeroticism. Not enough Tom of Finland for me, to be quite frank.
Well, what happens next, though? But tonight, as he approached the cosy ivy-covered cafe where he was to meet David... A man whose enigmatic messages had captivated him for weeks. Jonathan felt a thrilling sense of adventure. David, with his witty banter and disarming charm. It's built on Pete
Nelson. Is that your friend Editor David who sometimes does the podcast running order?
God. Was a refreshing splash
of
colour.
What are you up to, David?
This is insane. This is bonkers.
Fantastic.
It's done my speech. In the hallowed halls of Beppe University, where dreams are nurtured like delicate blossoms in spring, Chris Broad, find myself. Full stop. Under the soft glow
David
of the
auditorium. And him getting lucky. What happened to David and his romantic ivy-covered coffee date?
That's kind of crazy, though, isn't it? You don't need to buy a book now. You could just tell it to write a book. Just fill in the names, give it some general ideas of what you want, book done. God, that must be happening quite a lot.
I don't know, Chris. I've not recently written a book, mate.
I was lucky or unlucky, depending on how you look at it, that ChatGPT came out like 3 weeks after I finished the book. That's to be annoying. Fair, I might have used it to proofread. Yeah.
Could you do the second one? Could you just sort of go do this again? But like more gay interest.
That would be tempting.
Yeah.
This is under the soft glow of the auditorium lights, my heart beats with a symphony of anticipation and nostalgia. I recall, my dear friends, the first time I held a camera, its weight not just in my hands, but in my destiny. It was more than a device. It was a portal to a world I yearned to explore, a world where stories of Japan awaited my eager lens. I know people on YouTube who actually talk like this.
Like this, yeah.
This kind of over-enthusiastic tone. My God, we could sit here all day and discuss the speech that may or may not happen, but all I know is this is the way I get my speech done in 2 weeks' time in Beppu.
What if you accidentally print out the wrong one?
Can you imagine?
It's just you talking about penetration for about 3 minutes. Oh, God, this has gone very wrong indeed. Chris, I watched a little video online of, I don't actually know which Japan Interest site it was, but they basically met this French guy who runs a French cuisine stand in Fukuoka, speaking of Kyushu, in Fukuoka. Like this guy who just basically runs a little sort of French restaurant on the street, and he does little, you get snails in France, in Paris or wherever, and they come in little trays, and they've got cookie tray, but each snail has its own cookie little ball and all this stuff. And, which is weird because obviously they're shelled in the first place. But this guy, he'll cook snails and he'll cook this and that. And he's really effusive and charismatic and stuff and quite mad. But he basically runs it all from Fukuoka on that stretch where there's all those kind of little food places. Worth digging out. That's all I'm saying. Worth digging out. He's a really charismatic bloke. I can't remember who actually does it, but he looks like he's having a bloody lovely time, to be honest.
Where did you find this video?
I don't know.
Random.
Just a French man, Fukuoka, streetcar, French snail boy. just type that into YouTube. Well worth a little look. He seems a very charismatic chap.
Can't say I'm a fan of snails. Ever since I ate one with Natsuki in France, actually, we made him do it on Natsuki the movie, and he did not enjoy the experience. Dare I say? We got a complete 180 on the news story front this week. We've gone from ChatGPT and snails to something rather more sinister, I guess. This is only recently, right? A recently discovered US document has confirmed that 12 American soldiers were killed in the 1945 atomic bombing of Hiroshima, making it the first known acknowledgement by the US of how many of its captured military personnel had died. Isn't that bonkers? Even now, we're sort of discovering. It's like it's almost weird, isn't it? How we go forward in time into the future, we almost go back. We're able to go back further and uncover things as well. What do you make of this, Pete? Anyway, you're the news story man. I will hand over to you. I will yield to Pete Dawson.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you know, war history and kind of documents from that era are always pretty closely guarded. But it seems clear that. A US official document that's recently been discovered has confirmed that 12 American soldiers were killed in 1945 in the atomic bombing of Hiroshima, making it the first acknowledgement by the United States of how many of its troops actually perished in that particular situation. A report in 1948, December 20th, said the death of 12 American flyers as a result of the atomic bomb of Hiroshima had been written as part of an investigation of Japanese war crimes during World War II, and the soldiers were actually Japan's prisoners of war. So basically, there was insufficient evidence to prove an atrocity and no prosecutive action was taken at the time. But the soldiers had died in the bombing of that city, and there was rumours that at the time that these soldiers had died of torture and stuff like that. But that's apparently not what took place, and it's just sort of weird that in 2024 now, we're only sort of now realising that some people's family will be being informed that they actually died in the actual bombing itself, rather than under the system that was built at the time for prisoners of war in Japan, which by all accounts were not particularly positive in any stretch of the imagination. Didn't name the soldiers at all, but yeah, the Kyodo News from the US National Archives, with findings analysed by Hitoshi Nagai, professor of modern Japanese history at the Hiroshima Peace Institute, has basically said that, 12 US soldiers died in the Hiroshima air bomb. I'm not really sure about Nagasaki or any of the others, but
I know, well, Nagasaki,
a big city.
In Nagasaki, there was a prisoner of war camp. There were 200 prisoners, mostly British and Dutch, at the Fukuoka POW camp, right? And 8 POWs did die when the bombing of Nagasaki happened as well. Right. Yeah, is that bonk? It must have been, God, like, it's fascinating going to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, if you're into your history as I am. Two amazing cities as well. Like, it's really disjointing, like, watching all the news reels and all the History Channel stuff, and then finally going there and seeing it. And for the most part, if you didn't know anything about history of those two cities, you wouldn't really know anything had happened, because they've done such an amazing job rebuilding them. And I guess Hiroshima's, you know, put a more of an emphasis than Nagasaki on kind of revealing the past to what happened with the incredible museum in the Peace Memorial Park. The Peace Memorial Museum is a must-see place. And the A-bomb Dome as well is pretty chilling to see. But really cool cities, amazing places. I love them both. I've only been to Nagasaki twice, Hiroshima maybe half a dozen times. And I recommend Hiroshima if you're your first time in Japan, and even if you're into your history as well. Definitely worth a visit. Nagasaki's really cool, but it's quite far out. And it took me like 10 years living in Japan to get there because it's quite inaccessible. You've been to Hiroshima, right? But not Nagasaki.
I've done both. I did both. We went to...
That's just greedy. You've got both?
Just greedy.
When did you go to Nagasaki? When did you go?
I went... It was a trip to Korea. And then I think we sort of got a flight over to, I think, Nagasaki at the time. Yeah, I think we got a flight over to Fukuoka and then went from there, really, and had a little explore around. I mean, again, the Peace Park, big guy sort of points, that big blue guy, it's quite an arresting statue. We've spoken about that before on the podcast. I think Nagasaki's probably, it's the place that not as many people go to, obviously, next to Hiroshima. And obviously Hiroshima, you still got the domed kind of, it was a theater. I think we spoke about it before. It's a Bronze Bomb podcast. We're going to speak about quite a lot. I think Nagasaki is a more interesting, an interesting place to experience that, because it's not as, you know, corporatized as Hiroshima Peace Park is. You know, it's very, the edges are sort of sanded off, but with Nagasaki, I think it's more interesting sort of stories being told there, I think, as an independent kind of tourist seeing these things.
I mean, Nagasaki's got one hell of a history, given it was like the one of the main port cities that the Dutch sort of turned up in. I love Nagasaki, a really cool place. Would love to go back. You've got Gunkanjima Island as well down there, the Battleship Island, which people always tell me to go there. Chris, you should go to Gunkanjima, you should go to Battleship Island. I've been there. I've made a video on it. Unfortunately, the video's titled something else, and it's not in the thumbnail, so nobody knows that I've been there. But
dinner.
Really
about dinner.
I should go there again. Unfortunately, with Gunkanjima, there's like a really crappy tour. You can't go and have a look around. They like make you stand on this podium and have this really loud, boring tour that just doesn't do it justice. And there is a dark side to the history of the place as well. Slave labor, whatnot, that's not covered at all. But I mean, great cities though. Love Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And it's such a jarring episode to go between these topics, ChatGPT, Nagasaki. But what I will say, going back, we talked about my book earlier and how ChatGPT and the book and the books. One cool thing to tie in there, one of my favourite stories in the book is right at the start when I first arrived in Sakata. One of my favourite teachers in the book, I think he's called Kengo Sensei. That's not his actual name. I changed his name for the book. He, one morning on August 6th, he was like, on a few days before August 6th, he was like, oh, Chris Sensei, why don't you join me at this event in the morning at like 7 a.m.? And he didn't really say what it was. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And he picked me up in the morning. I went to this like temple and there was a few people gathered around. And I think it was like 8 o'clock or whatever. They rang the bell. 8 o'clock, I think, the same time that the bomb was dropped. It turned out it was a service for the Hiroshima bombing to remember it. And it was really, it's really moving moment. Sort of standing there in this quiet cemetery, this quiet temple, and the priest hitting this huge bell with the, I can't remember what it's called. It's like a, he's a large piece of wood to like bang it. And it sort of, and then as the bell rang, it started to rain kind of ominously, like I believe it did in Hiroshima at the time. But yeah, no, it was a really powerful moment. It made me think about, you know, how it's all perceived in Japan. And yeah, fascinating. So whatever you think of the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki there, when you, certainly when you go to the Memorial Museum in Hiroshima, the thing you will think is, I don't think, you know, you never want this to happen again. Whatever happens, just let's not let this happen again, kind of thing. And that's what it's all about. So, yeah, if you get the chance, go down there. Check it out for yourself. We're back in a moment, guys. Your stories, comments and questions in this week's Fact Machine. Facts Machine, not the Fact Machine. What am I on about?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
We're back with the Facts Machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Dawson? What's going on?
All right, let's bash through some questions nice and quick. Hello, KKR, Chris, and Century Pete. I've been following your YouTube and podcast since the start and still loving every minute of it. We're travelling to Japan soon to spend time with my in-laws. While over there, I'm looking to do some of my usual work remotely. So, that I can sneak in a bit of sightseeing after work. Are there any good places to work from, such as good cafe chains where it's okay to sit for 2 to 3 hours at a time, only ordering one coffee and dial into remote meetings? Ideally, I prefer not to have to rent a collab space unless you can recommend a good, cheap walk-in spot. Sid from the swelteringly hot Gold Coast, Australia. Chris, is it a four part to sort of just mooch around drinking, cradling a drink for hours on end while you do work?
Some places do have like a 30 minute kind of rule. Some places don't even let you get your laptop out. It is rare. But like Japanese coffee shops are kind of seen like as just co-working spaces effectively. You go in there, there's always a student or many hunched over their homework or whatnot. Anywhere's fine. Whether it's there's some really good chains though, like Tully's Coffee is good. Hoshinoya Coffee's really nice. Komeda's Coffee. It's one of my favourites as well. It's really nice. Tonkatsu sandwiches and decent coffee. Like, you're spoiled for choice. And on the cheaper end, you've got Cafe Veloce as well. There's so many coffee shops in Japan. You're spoiled for choice. And I, for one, have spent a lot of time sitting there writing things. I always had this dream of like being one of these cool people who sits in a coffee shop on their MacBook typing shit. And I got to do that. And I get to do that every day. And it's great. I don't know why that's my dream. I think when I was a teacher, I spent a lot of time staring out the window going, wow, I wish I wasn't here. And so my dream was sitting in a coffee shop with a laptop. And it's just nice to do that. It's just cool. And you can do it too.
You can do it too.
Cafe Veloce.
You can hang out in a coffee.
You can do it too. But you need a MacBook. You've got to look like a dickhead with a MacBook. That's me. You've got one here from Kyle. He says, hello, Chican, Chris, and Pervy Pete. I don't know how people feel about that. Unlike almost every other person that writes in, I've never been to Japan. Instead, I get my Japanese fix through series, movies, documentaries, and even scrape the bottom of the barrel and watch YouTubers in Japan. I jest, of course. I'd rather watch affable YouTubers than awful movies like Bullet Train or Kate. I haven't seen Kate, but Bullet Train wasn't very good. I agree. The last decent movie set in Japan I can remember is probably Lost in Translation. That being said, maybe I've missed something and there's some hidden gems. My question to both of you guys is, what movie or series based in Japan is worth hunting down and watching? Cheers. Keep up the good work. Kyle. Tokyo Vice isn't bad. It's on HBO. That's pretty good. There's also Japanese films like Shoplifters, it's pretty good. Drive My Car is all right, a little bit overrated. I thought it was okay, not as good as I thought. Yeah, I really like Departures, that's good too. Okurabito. Any films you like, Pete?
Oh, watched your list? In general.
Good ones. Lost in general. The Pete Donaldson
just
story.
Not Lost in general, just in general, for crying out loud. I think it is quite difficult. I think the I've plugged them before, but Third Window films, they've got some beautiful Japanese language subtitled and also dubbed films that are absolutely top class. They're the ones that they did that famous zombie film, something of this. One Cut of the Dead, I think, was it?
One Cut of the Dead. Yeah, I still need to see that.
Very popular. Yeah, still need to sit down and make my partner watch it. But yeah, they're a really, really good resource for like really decent, kind of almost like forgotten films from like the 80s as well in Japan. That was obviously just amazingly beautifully put together.
One Cut of the Dead. Yeah, I need to watch that. Everyone I know always raves about it. I forgot Giddy Haji, a BBC show.
Popular, isn't it?
That was really good. Yeah, Giddy Haji. I think it's on Netflix. Not sure. But that was really good. Really well scripted. Great acting. Really thrilling. And nobody watched it, unfortunately. I think the marketing behind it was pretty bad. And the title, it kind of means like honor. But like I think maybe it turned off Western audiences because they couldn't read it and they didn't know what it meant. So that could be an issue. Chris, last question here from Kristen Holt from YouTube. He says, Chris, would you say an alternate universe where the bubble didn't pop would just be anything cyberpunk? Is that less a question, more a statement? I think if the bubble didn't burst, I wonder what we would see. I think we'd see a lot more ambitious architectural projects, like that Tokyo megacity project where they were going to build like a skyscraper in Tokyo Bay. Like the world's biggest pyramid. Was it the X2000 concept, which is insane if you read about it? And there was a lot of really cool developments that had lined up, and then the bubble burst, and all the fun was over, and not much has happened since. That's not fair. But like,
we'd have double fax machines. Everyone would have two fax machines like taped together.
Like Brazil, all these like weird technological advances that are like hardware based. That would be kind of cool, yeah. I think that would probably be more the case. Japan's strong point has never been software. It's always the hardware. And I think we'd see a future where we've got these ever increasingly elaborate devices, but like crap software. There would be no ChatGPT, that's for sure. But yeah, I'd love to imagine what a world would be if Japan had carried on going. And that, I think, would be a great concept for a short film, as I said before. Yeah. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com or let us know in the comments below, guys on YouTube, if you have a question. For now, though, have a great few days and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Just stop there.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.